All right, I'm going to change gears completely and change gears even on the message. Some things happened this afternoon or this morning that maybe you've heard about in Texas. And so I like that Brother Bob Mayer gave me this verse about that event. I'm trying to be delicate with kids, all right, because our goal is not to instill into the hearts of our children fear, but instead faith, right? To get them to trust. So those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about, there was an event that took place at a church in Texas, and 50 injured, 27 of them mortally injured. And so Bob shared this this verse with me. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." And that is exactly what you're seeing played out. And we're going to look together at the 27th Psalm. So take your Bibles and turn to the 27th Psalm. And I want to encourage your heart, and then we'll give you a chance for some testimony tonight. I promised you that, and I know it's already a little late, but it's raining anyway. You don't want to go out there. So you'll be all right. Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just cause your word to be real and alive and vibrant, that we would know that it is truth, that we can depend upon it, trust it, that we can depend upon you. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that you, rather than allow us to be caught up in fear and concern, that we would be able to see you at work, that know that you are in charge of our lives, of our families, of our livelihood, and that nothing can come into our lives but is not first sifted through a loving Father. And I pray that you would help us to see that today in a very real sense, and we'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's what Timothy tells us, or Paul tells Timothy: "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And we might be tempted on a day like today to allow, you know, fear and discouragement to set in. And we're going to kind of walk ourselves through the 27th Psalm and just remind ourselves of the God that we have, even when difficult things face us. I have no idea if there was religious motivation to what was going on or if it's just the convenient place that people are together. I do know that churches are a very convenient place where we tend to be welcoming and open, and where we don't look at everyone with distrust. And by the way, I want that, don't you? I do not want to walk into the house of God looking at everyone with suspicion and question mark. And that's what the world is pushing us toward if we're not careful. But God hasn't changed. Amen? Same God that we had yesterday when fear wasn't there. So let's kind of walk ourselves through the 27th Psalm and let the Lord encourage our hearts. Let's continue in verse 1. "The Lord is the strength of my life." Listen to what it says. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" Why am I going to be afraid? "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh." Look what it says. What does it say? They stumble. Why did they stumble and fall? Why did they do this? Help me here. Help me understand this from David's perspective. What's actually happening? God's protection is what's happening. Exactly. Do you understand? I mean, hear me out. God has to allow everything that comes into our lives, because that's the kind of God that we have. He is the loving Heavenly Father that is in control of us. And God, who wants only what is good for us, he might allow things, but everything has to be filtered through him. So when mine enemies, even my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, if God doesn't want them to do that, look what's going to happen. They stumble and fall. And we do not need to be a nation in fear. That's not what God intends. Terrorism only works if we allow ourselves to become terrorized. Do you understand that? But if we believe that God's still in control and nothing has changed to change that, I'm often reminded of the Corrie ten Boom story and that thing that Betsy, her sister, said to her when they were in prison. Do you remember that? They're in prison for helping Jewish people escape the Nazis. And Betsy says to Corrie, who is in fear of what might happen next, "The safest place we can be is in the middle of God's will." Right? And that's what David is finding out here. Let's keep going. Look at verse 3. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." David says, I am not going to allow myself to become distracted by that which is the most important. Do you see what's happening? I mean, the world is just trying to distract you and I from trusting the God. It always amazes me that as Christians, we can so readily place our faith in God for eternity, but we struggle to trust Him for tomorrow. Right? I mean, we are trusting God to give us eternal life and to take us into eternity with Him forever. And we can trust Him with that truth about eternity, but we'll sit and bite our nails to the stub worrying about what might happen tomorrow. And David says, I am not going to let myself be distracted, though an host should encamp against me, though war should rise against me, when my enemies rise up against me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, or to dwell. Now, I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm sorry, all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Look at verse 6. For in the time of trouble, look what happens when the world starts turning upside down. In the time of trouble, what does God do? He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. And He goes beyond that. Not only does He hide me, protect me, guard me, but in so doing, He establishes my life in a very clear way. Because look what it says in the next verse. He shall set me up upon a rock, or in the next part of that. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up, where? Above mine enemies. Do you catch this? God has not deserted His people, no matter what happens. And I have no idea if those people were God's people. I don't know anything about them. I don't know all of the ins and outs of what took place down there. But I do know that there's no reason for you and I to struggle to fall asleep tonight. But we ought to pillow our heads with a peace that passes understanding. Because the same God who gave us eternal life is in control of all the rest of my life. And not only does He hide me in His pavilion in the secret of His tabernacle, but He then lifts up mine head above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, because of that, because God is still on the throne, catch this, rather than fear, rather than cower, rather than be terrorized, look what David says he will do. Will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of, what's that word? Joy. Joy. I will sing. Yeah, I will sing, what's that word? Praises. This is what God's people do when the enemy is upon them. Do you understand? This isn't like after the enemy's gone. This is when the enemy is encamped about us. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired. And God lifts us up, sets us on a rock, and David says, because this is the God that we're dealing with, I am going to not lose my joy, but have joy. And I'm going to not quit praising, but praise his name. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Lead me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Now look at verse 10. It gets even worse. You think, how can it get worse than a host being encamped against you? How can it worse than being surrounded by your enemy? It gets worse right here in verse 10. Circle the very first word of verse 10. What is it? When? What is it not? If. That's huge. When? You see, the idea is that bad things are likely to happen, even to God's people. And when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This is the God that we're dealing with. And yeah, it's a rough world we're living in. But when, he says, my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now we're going to focus a little bit on verses 13 and 14, then we'll give you a chance for some testimonies. I had fainted. I would quit. I would cease to have the impetus to go any further in my Christian walk unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord where? You know what the land of the living is? It's the here and now. In other words, David says, my only hope is not that God's going to be good in eternity, but I know the God that I'm living for, David says. And I had fainted, except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. Peter says, if we would see good days and love life, right? God offers that to us. Jesus said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Paul says about the Lord, God knows how to give good gifts unto his children. Or maybe Jesus said that. And so when he offers, you know, when we ask for a stone, does he offer, or for bread, does he offer a stone? No. When we ask for fish, does he offer a serpent? No. This is the God we have. And David says, I would quit, except I know that God is good, as Brother Dan said a minute ago, all the time. Right? And even when the world is turning upside down, God is still good, Christian. And then verse 14, wait on the Lord. What is God trying to teach us, Pastor? I don't know. If I were standing in that church in Texas tonight and we were having a service, and I have no idea what's going on there, I would say the same thing to that congregation. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Just know that God is still good. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, or good courage, I'm sorry. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So I know sometimes things happen and they can shake us up. But I would hate to think that Southeast Baptist Tabernacle would lose its joy, its peace, its contentment because the enemy has attacked. If the enemy is our source of joy and peace and contentment, I could understand that. But since the enemy is not, since my source of joy and peace and contentment is unchanged, then my joy and peace and contentment can remain unchanged. You see how that works? That's what David was learning. So I just want to encourage your heart. I know it's a different topic tonight, but I didn't know what was going to happen today, and I want to just encourage you that God's still God, right?